talk is about unsupervised feature extraction by time contrastive learning and nonlinear ICA. This work is from Apo Hevarinen and Hiroshi Morioka. Apo will give the talk.
So hello, everybody. I'm Apo Hevarinen, and I'm going to talk about unsupervised feature extraction. So this is not about clustering. This talk is kind of in a different cluster from the other talks in this session. This is about feature extraction by a method that we call time contrastive learning, and then we'll show how, quite surprisingly, it actually does some kind of a nonlinear form of ICA. So the basic question is how to extract nonlinear features from multidimensional data when there are no labels, that is the unsupervised setting. Unlike most of the work in this area, what we do is we use a temporal structure in time series. And to put it very briefly, our principle is that we learn features that enable discriminating data points which come from different time segments in those time series. So in fact, what we use is completely ordinary neural network training, logistic regression, multinomial logistic regression on top of an MLP, where the idea is that the last hidden layer then gives the features. But then the main contribution here is to show a quite surprising theoretical result, which is that this kind of a simple, intuitively motivated learning actually estimates a nonlinear version of the ICA model with completely general nonlinear mixings. So the data is a completely nonlinear mixing, a completely general nonlinear mixing of certain independent components, where the key assumption is that the components have to be non-stationary, and then they will be given by the hidden layer in the neural network. So this is essentially the first case of provably identifiable nonlinear ICA. Identifiability is a key concept here. It means basically that the model is well-defined. We can actually recover the sources and all components in the data. So in this essentially what we have is a new principled framework for unsupervised deep learning, in particular unsupervised feature extraction. So as Yann LeCun was he justified in great detail the first two points here, which is that unsupervised deep learning is a largely unsolved problem, but it's very important because often it is very difficult to obtain labels or any kind of targets for your learning. Now, one very powerful and mathematically principled approach for this kind of unsupervised learning would be to use generative models. What I mean is models that describe how your data is generated from some kind of a hidden underlying processes. A very classical, well-known, and extremely useful method in this vein is linear independent component analysis, so where each observed variable xi is assumed to be generated as some kind of a linear mixing of certain hidden variables sj, with some linear mixing matrix, linear mixing coefficients aij. Now, one reason why this is so useful and popular is that we actually have a strong theoretical result saying that this model is identifiable. What identifiability means is that observing the xi alone, like in any unsupervised setting, we can actually recover both the mixing coefficients aij and the original sources sj. Now, this is possible under the assumptions that the original sources or independent components Sj are statistically independent and have non-Gaussian distributions. Now, we would like to do the same thing in the nonlinear case, but unfortunately, it turns out to be very difficult, and nonlinear ICA is largely an unsolved problem. So the basic case of nonlinear ICA is simply not identifiable. That is the basic problem here. That is, if we define the nonlinear ICA model in simply so that each xi, each observed variable, is some completely arbitrary, possibly smooth, transformation of independent components si, s1 to sn, then it is simply not possible to recover the original signals by any statistic without some further assumptions. This can be seen from the fact that if we actually have two random variables, x1 and x2, we can always find some function g of those two variables so that it is independent of x1 or something that's independent of x2 or any nonlinear function you might like. So independence alone is simply too weak to enable estimation of a nonlinear mixing. But of course, we all would probably agree that we want to have nonlinear features. We want to be able to demix this kind of a nonlinear mixing systems. The whole success story of deep learning is based on the idea that in the supervised case, we can actually learn extremely complicated, extremely complex nonlinear features that will then enable object recognition, for example. Now, what can we do? One approach that has been investigated to some extent is to use the temporal structure of the data, and we will actually use that approach. One of the very first papers here was by Harmeling and others, who suggested that, well, given the signals X, maybe we can transform them nonlinearly into a set of components, SI, so that these components, with the maximization principle, that these components should change as slowly as possible. Slow features have been proposed completely heuristically earlier, independent of ICA. And it turns out that, well, this is a valid principle, actually. Well, Harmeling and others were inspired by work in the linear case. In fact, if we think about the identifiability of this kind of a model in the linear case, we have identifiable results going back more than 20 years. Although there are some slightly annoying technical assumptions about the autocorrelations, but still, essentially, the model is more or less identifiable. But now, in the nonlinear case, actually, we don't know if it's identifiable, although there are some encouraging simulations, but still, this is kind of a promising approach. So we will use temporal structure in the data, but we prefer to use a slightly different kind of temporal structure, which we have found very useful, which is non-stationarity. In fact, this principle was proposed earlier in the linear ICA case, and it has been proven to work there. So the idea is that, well, given the observed signals x1, we could transform them linearly or non-linearly to some estimates of sources which are kind of maximally non-stationary, as depicted here. So the SEs have actually kind of you can see that the variances are extremely non-stationary, changing over time. In fact, this kind of non-stationarity can, of course, take many different forms, but typically here, we assume that it is the variances of the signals that are non-stationary. It's a very useful model in many, surprisingly many areas. Video signals, speech signals, many brain signals, and financial time series actually show this kind of a non-stationarity of variances. And this kind of a model with non-stationary variances can actually be shown to be identifiable in the linear case, without any further technical assumptions. Now, in the nonlinear case, well, this kind of approach has almost never been attempted, and the identifiability is quite unknown. But, well, I will show that it actually works. But first, I will describe a completely intuitive, completely intuitively motivated learning principle, and then I will show how this surprisingly leads to identifiability of nonlinear ICA. So, let's just forget about ICA for a while, and let's just think about some kind of a heuristic method for analyzing temporal structure in the data. So we observe an n-dimensional time series, x, with time index t. Now, let's divide this xt into a number of segments. For example, in the basic case, just taking bins with equal sizes. And then let's train an ordinary neural network, a multilayer perceptron, so that it should tell for each single data point which segment this data point comes from. So we have actually a completely classical classification problem where the number of classes is the same as the number of time segments, and we use completely ordinary neural network training, which can be conceptually divided into two parts, like in this figure. We have first a feature extraction by the hidden layers, H, and then after that we have multinomial logistic regression. Now, intuitively speaking, you would think that the hidden layer should learn to represent the non-stationarity of the data. Well, because the differences between segments are, by the very definition, what non-stationarity is all about. And if you want to discriminate data coming from different time segments, what you need to learn is exactly the non-stationarity in the data. So we see the connection to the non-stationarity I just mentioned. So, well, what we are actually doing here is that we are turning unsupervised learning into supervised learning by simply kind of artificially defining various labels and elements in the supervised learning process, as has been used in other methods like noise contrastive estimation, generative adversarial networks, and so on. And here now comes the main contribution of our paper, a theorem which basically says that it is intuitive principle of time contrastive learning actually estimates a nonlinear ICA when the components have non-stationarities. So let's assume that the data follows the nonlinear ICA model, X equals a linear, nonlinear mixing of the independent components or sources Si, so that the independent sources have non-stationary variances. But we don't restrict, this is important, we don't restrict the nonlinear mixing in any way, except that we say that it is smooth and invertible. And then let's assume that we apply time contrastive learning, as I described on the preceding slide, on data coming from this model. That is, to put it briefly, logistic regression to discriminate data from coming from different time segments, so discriminate between time segments, using a multi-layer perceptron with a hidden layer, and so that the number of units in the hidden layer is the same as the number of original observed variables. Then we can prove, basically, that the squares of the independent components are obtained by some linear mixture of the hidden layer outputs, where the squaring here is element-wise. So what it means is that time contrastive learning basically demixes the nonlinear ICA part. Time contrastive learning demixes the nonlinear ICA model up to a linear mixing. So it basically demixes the nonlinear part of the nonlinear mixing. So we only are left with basically a linear mixing given by the matrix A, and that can actually be estimated by linear ICA, doing linear ICA on the hidden layer outputs. All that remains is this nonlinearity squaring, taking of the individual independent components. Well, hopefully that may not be so important in many practical applications. So what we have is a constructive proof of identifiability. We show that under certain assumptions, essentially the assumption of non-stationarities, non-stationary variances in this basic case, we can estimate a nonlinear ICA model. And the proof is constructive because we have an algorithm that does it. In the paper, we also describe some generalizations here. So we generalize the non-stationarities to non-stationarities in exponential families. So it doesn't have to be non-stationary variances at all. We also show how to combine this idea with dimensional reduction. So we actually have like PCA in addition to the ICA, nonlinear again. Okay, we did some experiments with brain imaging data. In brain imaging data, what is fashionable these days is to measure activity in resting state. And it is well known that in this resting state, there are certain resting state networks that activate one after the other, or perhaps independently of each other. So this seems to be really, so that makes actually this resting state data non-stationary and seems to be a very good target for this kind of analysis. Actually, linear ICA has been used many times and gives interesting results. So what we did is that we estimated the sources from resting state, that means data where the subjects are just lying in a scanner, or sitting perhaps, but they don't receive any kind of stimulation, and there is no any kind of task. So that is completely unsupervised, but then we validated the results by another data set, measured separately, where we actually have ground truth. The subjects receive different kinds of stimulation. And so in figure A, we see that TCL basically has better classification accuracies. So now we apply a simple SVM classification on the sources given by TCL and competing methods. And we see in A that the sources given by TCL will give better classification accuracies than competing methods. And interestingly, now when we increase the number of layers, that is when we make the network more and more nonlinear, going from L1, L equals 1 to L equals 4, we see that the classification accuracy increases. So actually modeling the nonlinearities in this mixing gives us more information about the data. In B, we have a kind of an attempt to visualize what happens in this kind of a nonlinear classification network. Of course, this visualization is extremely difficult, but what we can kind of see that when we go from layer 1 to layer 2, we are calculating activities in different brain areas that are then somehow summed together in the layer 3, but I will not go into details here. So, to conclude, what we proposed here is the intuitive idea of time contrastive learning. And we proved, to put it very simply, we proved that TCL solves nonlinear ICA. Of course, under certain assumptions, in particular the assumption that the source signals in ICA are non-stationary. So this is essentially, well, what we claim, our main claim here really is that this is the first case of identifiable nonlinear ICA. Identifiable means, identifiability means that the model is well-defined and we can actually recover the original sources and we can actually prove this. This is not just heuristic or based on simulations. So we get a new principled framework for unsupervised deep learning, principled mathematically, principled in the sense that we actually know exactly what the goal of the learning is, and that's why we can then actually evaluate how well the learning happens, at least in theory. In future work, what we will need is to, well, develop better methods for finding this segmentation that we use in TCL. An extremely interesting application of TCL would be to do it on image or video data, and then hopefully we would have nice pictures to show in our talks. And finally, what we would like to do, and we have actually done, is then to use this other principle of other formalization of temporal structure based on temporal autocorrelations in the nonlinear ICA case and actually prove under what conditions it works and actually make so that it actually works in the general case and not, we don't actually have to make the rather stringent assumptions as in the linear case. And yeah, this is something we just recently submitted. Thank you very much.
Questions over there.
Great talk. So I have two questions about the, so you said about the bin number, so that if, would this TCL kind of framework will definitely depend on the size of beans or how many like binnings you're gonna do, so that making the number of clusters different. So which also brings up the problem of kind of how many K clusters you're gonna use. So what's the effect of the number of like beans you will use, and also there will be some problems about it. So what's your opinion about it?
Yeah, so that's basically the main free parameter in the model now is the number of number of segments, or equivalently the length of the segments. So that's something that, well, we are basically just trying out different numbers. It's a bit like PCA dimension reduction. You just try out different dimensions and see which one works best. As I said in the conclusion slide, so that's really kind of, let's say, the weak point of the theory. And what we would like to do in future work is to develop methods for doing this, for somehow learning the optimal binning at the same time as the TCL. Yes.
Okay. The question is about, even though you have a good cluster with different beans, it can give same cluster. Which I mean is the same class. If there is a three beans, there can be, even though you give independent sources by three classes, we don't know if it is the same, like for example in brain network, it can be the same DMN kind of thing. So how do you discriminate it is if the classes are well defined in same classes, or it just makes it, even though it is the same class, you just discriminate by the independence of your seeds number?
I'm afraid I may not have quite understood the question, but in any case, what we can show is that there can be, for example, segments in which the distributions of the components, even all the components, can be the same. It's not necessary that the distributions would be really different in each segment. I mean, a logistic regression can completely gracefully handle the case where you have some classes which have exactly the same distributions. We show that it is only necessary that basically there's something like n segments which have sufficiently different, basically linearly independent distributions of the independent components, where n is a dimension of the data. Sorry, I'm not sure if that answers your question.
No, it's exact
Hi. Let's take a question from this side.
Hi. My question's a little complicated. Yes. So the first data you showed, you said that the hidden layer neurons didn't pick up the stationarity, so they weren't temporally stamped, so they weren't selecting a particular chunk of the time sequence. So the first part is, what does it select? And the second data you showed, the brain data, it looked like you were mapping the signal to different areas of the brain. and that's pretty cool. But have you compared that to actual physical, like neurological data, to see if the brain waves you were picking up were coming from that part of the brain?
Yeah, well, the problem here is that it's really, really difficult to actually analyze this kind of a nonlinear mixings. So what we try to do in the paper is that we basically visualize the first layer, which is linear, that's easy. Then we somehow have to visualize the second layer by looking at some kind of a correlations of the outputs of the second layer and the original data, and so on for the further layers. So, what seems to happen in the nonlinearity is that you basically like first look at some kind of brain sources, as is typical in MEG or EEG analysis, then you basically kind of pull these together into bigger networks, and perhaps in each layer, bigger and bigger networks. But yes, it's, well, at the moment, I admit that the MEG results are quite preliminary. We are working actually at the moment on fMRI analysis, where the analysis, where interpretation of the components might be much easier.
How do you handle the situations when time is not a natural component of your data?
Well, this has to be for time series. It's certainly quite possible. Okay, well, it has to be time series or something similar. It is certainly possible to have space instead of time. Actually, that's what we are doing in the fMRI case. If we do spatial ICA, where basically your observations are indexed by the point in the space. So then what you do is that instead of time segments, you take spatial segments, and that works fine. But I mean, if you have really IID data in the sense that your data points are independently sampled, then this method is not completely applicable. Then we go back to the basic nonlinear ICA case, which is simply not identifiable without some assumptions that actually we don't know. Yeah.
Time for a last quick question.
Yeah.
Can you please comment on the hardness of estimation of your algorithm for other models beyond like quadratic, which you showed in the presentation? Meaning if the source is not just related by a quadratic relation, but by more complex nonlinear.
Okay. So we didn't actually assume the quadratic function that we had here. It came from the log likelihood of the Gaussian data because we assumed non-stationary Gaussian variances. But in the generalizations of the exponential families, this nonlinearity will be completely different. So it's not that the mixing is in any way quadratic in the nonlinear case. In the nonlinear mixing, we can really have like any kind of general smooth invertible mixing functions. So the quadratic function is just a very special case.
So sorry, we have to wind up here. Let's thank the speaker again.